traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Every zoo that I went to in the world, all the gorillas look at me and they go crazy. You can laugh, it's okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so I'll go up to them and like I'll mess with them and like they all come to the glass and they all do this.
Everything's fantastic. Everything's kosher. Here we go. Another live show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, do me a favor. Pause this video. I will wait and hit that subscribe button. We appreciate you. Now, you're watching this at home, but there's a lot of people watching this live right now. Caleb, if you want to do a little 180 with the camera, we have 250 distributors here in Las Vegas.
Let's go. Let's go.
This is Impulsive's second live show, so we are going to mess up, but it is live. You get to see it. It'll be highly entertaining, and we have an amazing guest for you guys today. I have an intro for him. I don't want to keep him waiting. He is a busy guy. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is one of the greatest NBA players of all time, but it's his time off the court that's helped him become one of the top 5 wealthiest players the league has ever produced. From investments, brand deals, franchise ownership, his portfolio is stock full of wins and only continues to grow. He's in Vegas for the event in support of his foundation that creates pathways for underserved youth to help them achieve their full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Shaquille O'Neal. He's going to have to come around the front.
Look at those pants. Those are awesome, bro.
Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go.
Wow. What's up, big
What's
dog?
Up, brother? So this might be a little clunky because, again, it is a live show. So just let me know if the audio works. The headphones fit your head. So far, so good.
All that money you're making, you couldn't get a bigger stage?
Hey, we've been complaining about it for a while. Not as much as you, man.
Hello, everyone. What's up, brother?
So how are you?
I can't complain. I'm just, taking it easy.
For sure, dude. We have been trying to get you on this podcast.
So long.
For so long.
So long.
Finally, you're here.
Hold on. Let me see if the check cleared.
The check
hasn't.
Oh, yeah,
it hasn't.
It's cleared.
The check cleared.
It's cleared.
Nah, we tried to get you on one time before, but we had Oliver Tree
Do
on.
Me a favor. Close your legs while you're talking to me. I don't want to see. Turn that way. You see him? Well, he's like,
hey. Whoa, dude, you almost slapped your dick in my face, bro. You can't make a joke like that.
Jeez, close your legs, them little boy shorts you got on.
That was wrong with me. I was told this is fashion. Do you know that the shorts are getting higher?
No, I do not.
Why
do you
look more like a dad than Shaq does? With these high.
I know, right? You do look like a dad.
What are you talking about? Is it the glasses? These are new.
Yeah, I know. I see the Jeffrey Dahmer joints.
What's going on? Yeah. What did I do wrong?
You've been watching Netflix. So have I. I'm on episode 6 right now.
Hey, he's the star of the show.
I'm just getting toasted. Yeah, no, it's a low prescription. It's not just for style.
Okay.
I was actually speaking here earlier in front of all these people, and this is funny, guys. I actually said the Staples Center is in London, and some of you may have caught that. It's in Los Angeles. It's because I can see your faces now. Like, I can't see faces like this, and I'm used to speaking like this. And when I do this, I realized so many people were looking at me. So I couldn't finish my train of thought.
What do you usually think's happening if you don't have the glasses on? I'm looking at the wall.
I don't think about it. You're used to performing, obviously, in front of groups of people, man. And so,
yes, I am.
Do you get any nerves when you come up here to do stuff like this?
No, not at all. Just have fun. I like to make people laugh. And, I like to make people feel good. Because these guys, I know these are the Anheuser-Busch people. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
So they have real jobs. Get up at 8, work all day, orders, all that, and come home at 5. Like us, we get to just do whatever we want to do. So I really respect people like this because this was our moms, our dads. So I just try to, they're here in Vegas having a good time. So while we're here for an hour, just want to make them laugh.
Let's chop it up, dude. Hell yeah. Real jobs, out there making real money, and coming to Vegas just to lose it. Are you gambling here?
No, sir. I'm not a gambler, man.
Ever?
Ever.
Why not?
I'm trying to keep. The definition of money is not how much you make, it's how much you keep.
Fastest dollar earned is the dollar saved.
Exactly.
So I've heard. Yeah, but surely you never go put $1,000 on a number in roulette?
No, never. I used to when I was your age, but now that I'm a dad, I have to relax.
I got you.
But it is Sin City. You surely have some vice when you're here in Vegas. Nothing. What do you do after you get finished spinning at the end of the night?
Do you think I'm going to tell all these people what the hell I do? Next question, please. No, I don't go to strip clubs either, so don't ask me that.
Hey, Shaq, you do so much stuff, man. Like I walked into a, where was I? Like a staple, an Office Max? And I think I saw you, a giant cutout of you with a printer. Then I turned on the TV, you're doing an ad. You're part of Authentic Brand Groups, ABG.
Yes.
But correct me if I'm wrong, ABG bought the rights to you? How does that work?
They bought the right to have half of my likeness. Because when I was a youngster, you know, like when you're watching basketball and, you know, you see Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and, you know, Air Jordan. I said to myself, I want to have a name like that. And I realized I did have a name like that, Shaquille O'Neal. So, you know, going into this and, you know, I said to myself, when I'm done playing, I want to still be relevant. I want to still be, you know, looked at, you know, like Muhammad Ali, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, those names live forever. So in order to do that, I had to sign, partner with a company such as Authentic Brands Group. And, you know, we've been doing really big things.
Do you feel like you needed to sign with a company like ABG in order for that legacy to happen with your name?
Yes and no. You know, I got like five guys who were doing a fabulous job, but to get on a worldwide stage, you know, I had to partner with somebody.
But you also own a large percentage of ABG shares as well, correct? So it kind of works both ways.
I don't know. I don't.
I don't know.
No, it's not that. It's like I don't want to sit here and talk about what I own and what I do. Right. This is not what these people came to hear. I'm fortunate to have done a JV, a joint ventureship with a company, and I just wanted my name to live forever.
You see, that desire to have a long-lasting legacy, even after you leave the sport, is kind of a strategic, like a high-level business thought. Did you always have that propensity to do business at a younger age, or was that something that you kind of grew into?
No, I had to develop it. You know, my father was a drill sergeant, so the way he raised me was through horror stories. It's a true fact that 65 to 70% of all professional athletes, when they're done 3 to 5 years after their plan, have nothing. Yeah. And I used to always, so every time an athlete did something crazy, I would get in trouble. Right? So, no, seriously, true story. When I was 12, 13, my father came home one day and he was crying. And he said, if I ever catch you messing with Coke, I will kill you. So I'm 13, I'm like, Dad, I'm a Pepsi guy. No, seriously, but he wasn't playing. So it was a guy by the name of Len Byers. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. He was going to be the number one pick. And my father died like Len was my brother. Like, he cried so hard. So I was always, you know, whenever people would make a mistake, he would use those stories to teach me. And then he would end it, if I catch you doing this, I will kill you. No, seriously. So,
if the drugs don't kill you, I will.
Exactly. So I always had to, you know, focus on education, focus on business. And then, you know, when you're in the NBA, it's a fantasy world, but you get to live a good life. And if you are responsible, you can continue to live that life. As you see, I got on pajamas. I don't really have a job. That's because when I was 18, going into 19, 20, 30, I listened to my parents because they always said, hey, man, education, education, business, 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 partnerships, relationships, be respectful and do the right thing.
I'm nowhere near being a parent yet. Actually, you know what? I don't know if that's true.
That's not what I heard.
I'm not a parent yet, but I fear that if I try to be strict, like your dad was with you, they'll just rebel, right? I feel like a lot of times kids are reactive.
It's different. So, you know, my kids are gated community gangsters.
Nice. Nice.
So, listen, when I was growing up, it was a lot of trials and tribulations. So he had to be like that. And, you know, his basic thing was, I want you to be a leader and not a follower. Mm. So he had to be, right? But my kid's not like that. And I have six wonderful children. I don't have any problems with my children. I tell them all the time, we don't need another basketball player. It's six of y'all. Somebody give me law school. Somebody give me hedge fund. I got one daughter that's a marketing director at Pepsi. So listen, I just want you, education, have fun, be yourself. And I tell them, they kind of got mad at this, but I say, in order to touch daddy's cheese, you got to have 3 degrees.
That's a lot of degrees.
Yeah, because I believe in respectable nepotism. I was with the Miami Heat one day and an article came out. The grandmother leaves the son $250 million, right? So I didn't think nothing of it because it's a rich family. So I go in the locker room one day to shoot, and this kid's on his knees scrubbing the bathroom floor. And I'm looking at him like, hey, man, didn't your grandmother just give you $250 million? Yeah, but dad wants me to start from the bottom. So he had to do that. He was picking up jocks, and he was, he started in the marketing department, and now I think he's the vice president. Once I saw that, I was like, you know what? That right there is respectable nepotism. Because the kid went to Duke, his grandma gave him $250. He could have been like, I'm not doing anything. But his dad said, nope, you start from the bottom. So that's what I also teach my kids. And I also have to teach them, we're not rich, I'm rich.
I love that. I love that line so much. Daddy, we're rich.
You know my oldest son. He's very smart. And it was kind of my fault. I said, my man, if you get all A's this next semester, you can get whatever you want. So he gets all A's, and I was like, go to the dealership and pick one. Then I get a call from Tesla. I said, man, you better take your ass across the street to Honda.
He was trying to save you money on gas. Yeah, bro.
I'm not buying you no damn Tesla.
But it is like father likes.
Hold on. Yeah. You ain't going to ask me a question?
Damn.
He waits. He likes to wait until he's got the
bro, you
question.
Tapped me in play mode and I broke my hand. What happens if I ask the wrong question and you punch me?
You wear short shorts.
I'm telling you, they're making a resurgence.
You know what? Hold on. I might as well just put my shirt.
So I'm so sorry.
Now you gotta say something. Man.
Listen, man, I read the Bible a lot when they talk about David and Goliath. I've never seen a giant, and so like I'm a little taken.
You've been sitting over here for 30 minutes, and that's all you can freaking say. Fucking kidding me.
Now he's not gonna say
that's a question. Jeez.
But I didn't. I'm just sitting.
Are you drunk?
Not yet.
We're gonna get Edgy George later tonight.
I have one question. Is there any chance I can for 2 seconds put these up? So I can hear what's going on.
Take them all. You don't have to ask the producer. Just take things off.
Okay.
You've been on this show.
I feel like I just fucked up everybody's vibe.
No, you did.
I am so
they
sorry.
Love it.
I'm like right next to them, but I can't hear anything in this. So I've been like
he's
trying.
Your partner
and then
on your
the
podcast?
Worst. Let's give George a round of applause.
He's the new
get
guy.
Him back. Get
Come
him back
on,
in the game.
He's your partner.
He's the newest.
You might want to give him his 2 week notice. That's the question. Dude.
Honestly,
jeez.
No, it's not how it works in this show. You don't even get a 2 week notice. You're fired, brother.
Speak.
No, come on, Georgie. The audience loves. They love how awkward he is.
No, I just couldn't hear you guys. I'm the closest one in the room, but I could not hear a word. So I was just doing this.
So now that you can hear,
any question?
You have a question for Shaq?
Yeah. Can we fucking move on so I can like so I can jump in? This is like double dutch, but everybody's pointing at you.
I know it is obnoxious, but I mean, you're huge. You're massive. When did you realize, like, oh, I'm still growing and I am going to be much bigger
stop.
Than literally everyone around me?
Age 3.
No, so age 10.
That wasn't far.
Because my father taught me all sports, boxing, football, baseball, basketball. Mm. So we beat this team one time, like 100-4.
Mm.
Right?
Wasn't there a mercy rule?
No, seriously, 100-4. No, there was no mercy rule. And I remember this kid, his father running on the court. Bad and upset. He said, no way this kid is 10. If he's 10, he's going to be the best basketball player ever.
No way.
And my father was so happy. My father said, see, if you listen to me. So shortly after that, went to the Knicks game. And I see my favorite guy in the world, Dr. J. He goes baseline, and the crowd goes crazy. And I always had to address my father as sir. So, he would always say, he would always train me, and I would always wimp out. And he'd be like, you're not ready. Get away from me. Mm. But after that moment, I saw Dr. J, and I was like, sir, I think I know what I want to be. I want to be an NBA player. And he says to me, 12 years old, if you listen to me, I'll make you one of the best big men ever.
No way.
And he said it, and he had so much, he had a tear in his eye. So I had to believe him. So at 12, I knew it was bigger than everybody else, and he just taught me to be mean and ferocious, taught me to bow people in the face, kick them, throw them down, and just, do whatever.
I can't imagine you kicking or throwing me down.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Thanks, Shaq.
But him on
the other hand. I knew it. I knew it. Yeah.
I don't like the way your guy laughed like that.
No, he wants you to get hit. You already know what I'm going to say.
NASCAR, baby. Every single Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, it is the NASCAR playoffs. Fast cars, wrecks, fights, and all of the action anyone could ask for. It might be the end of the season, but the intensity just started. This weekend, NASCAR is back at Charlotte Motor Speedway, so strap in for a wild ride as the stars of NASCAR Cup Series take on Charlotte, as it's an elimination race going from 12 to 8 drivers, all vying for their spot to become a champion. NASCAR always delivers an action-packed race full of lead changes, wild wrecks, and close finishes that will keep you on the edge of your seat the entire race. You have to experience NASCAR in person, so be sure to not miss the action and go to NASCAR.com/tickets to get your tickets today. And if you cannot make the race, tune in and get ready to take a better beer shower at the finish line with NASCAR Charlotte Motor Speedway this Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Now back to the show.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You had that same moment with 2 of your sons, right? Coming up to you saying, this is what I want to do for a living. Is that
was cool?
Two of your sons, right? Wanted to play ball for a living.
You got sons, Miles?
Oh, 2 of my sons. Yeah, I was like, 2 ear sons.
Sucks
like,
when you can't hear, huh?
Yeah. I teach them how to play. I want them to have fun. I want them to follow their dreams, but it's no pressure. You know, I was taught that pressure is when you don't know where your next meal is coming from. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of stories that, you know, hopefully people could relate to. So, rookie year, we're playing the New York Knicks, and I have a terrible game. And I get a call on my phone. My father, he says, get your ass home right now. So I get home, I land late, and you know, I don't want to talk to you. Be here tomorrow at 0500. If you don't, I'm gonna knock your ass out. 0500 is 5 a.m.
Yep.
So I'm there at 5 a.m. He's already dressed, and we get in the car and we ride. And I was like, well, what? Shut the hell up, we just riding. So I come across this homeless family that he always takes care of. He gives them money, gives them clothes, whatever. And we're just looking for an hour. He said, what happened in the game yesterday? I said, man, I don't know. I let the pressure get to me. He was pissed. You spoil your mother effer making all this money. You talking about pressure. Blah, blah, blah. This is pressure where you don't know where your next meal is coming from. Get out. I'm like, what do you mean get out? Get out. I knew what he wanted me to do, but I was like, okay. So now it was a guy, his wife, and 2 kids. I can't have him laying on the street. So I went and talked to the guy. Nice guy. He said, look, man, I just lost my job. I just got down on some hard time. But he was very dedicated. He's like, but I'm going to get back. I'm going to get back. I said, all right, hold on. Jake, yeah, what's happening? You still got them apartments that you're building? Yeah, well, I need a 3-bedroom apartment today. How much? $3,000, $36,000? I'm rewired the money. So now I got him off the streets, right? I gave him that. Gave him some cash, you know, for the clothes and stuff. And then I asked the guy, I said, well, what do you like to do? He said, man, I'll do whatever. Hey, Tony, you still got that lawn service? Hey, you like to cut grass? You got that lawn service? I'm going to send a guy over, boom, 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 make sure you get paid, whatever. I'll pay you back. So got the guy off the street, got him started. 2 years after that, the guy started his own lawn service. He was cutting my grass in Orlando. I had to let him go last month because I sold my house in Orlando. But pressure to me is when you don't know where your next meal is coming from. So I try not to complain. I try not to use that word pressure. So I always tell my kids, just go play, have fun. If you make it, cool. If you don't, I understand. But you must have an education because respectable nepotism is the way that we can go.
It's really interesting how you're parenting the opposite style of your parents. But it worked for you.
Because I was a high-level juvenile delinquent. High level. No, really. I was a follower. And I got disciplined so much to the point until that Dr. J moment. Once that Dr. J moment came, I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to start being a leader and I'm going to start listening. Because I was very, very mischievous.
Was there ever a time where, like, I know what it's like to have a hard-ass dad. Same with him. Was there ever a time where you have to...
Why don't you think I talk, sir?
Because you don't, sir. Just looking at me very weird.
That's George for you. Yeah. But was there ever a time where you had to press your dad a little bit?
Yeah. And so we was doing business, and he didn't like a decision that I made, and I kind of bucked up at him, and he's like.
Oh, that's
that's cool. No,
it's not from the Middle East.
No, and he says to me exactly what I've been waiting for.
Sick.
Yeah, it's like
for sure, it's a moment.
No, my dad said the same thing, except for he beat my ass right afterwards. He was like, "Yeah, I've been waiting for this," and just because beat the shit out of me.
True story. It was we're negotiating with Reebok, and the guy comes in and he says, $10 million for 4 years. Here's the contract. Don't even look at it."
Classic.
He puts the contract down. My father goes off. You mother. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so I had to explain it. I was like, that's not how you do business. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, that's not how you do business. Let me handle it. Just what I'm aware. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to let you negotiate the deal, big man. So, you know, he was teaching me that. And, you know, once I stood up to him, he said, you know what? You're the man of the house and it's all yours now. Because what always made me stay motivated, I realized my parents never owned a house. The family never owned a house. We all grew up in project buildings. So I'm like, I gotta get my mom a new house. I gotta get her a new house. One time we was riding in San Antonio, we was riding through neighborhoods, and the house wasn't much, $400,000 house, but she just stopped and like she's looking at the house. And I said to myself, I'm gonna get my mother a house. I'm gonna get her a mansion. I'm gonna get her whatever she wants. So that was always part of my motivation. So first thing I did when I got drafted, I bought them a house, and I said, okay, here it is. I'll put you guys on salary. Never have to worry, Dad, I need you to retire from the Army. Work for me now. You got your own my fan club. I need you to run it. Thank you for everything. I'll take it from here. And, you know, my father was very proud. He's like, hey, I'm 65. I can retire. You can take care of the family. And he had a tear in his eye.
So cool, man. Not a lot of people get to do that for their parents.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to talk about basketball a little bit. When you first shattered a rim, or a backboard. What was going through your head? Because had that happened before at that
so,
point?
So a lot of stories go back to my father. I know he passed away about 9 years ago, but I think about him all the time. So I was, you know how the guys play now, the big guys play soft? That was me. Because I wanted to be Magic Johnson. I was smooth, right? So one time I had 45 points in halftime, and I go to finger roll and I miss. And my father calls a timeout. He comes on the court, timeout, call a timeout. I was like, wait a minute, again, call a fucking timeout. Yes, sir. So he takes me outside. He said, what are you doing? I said, man, I'm working on my Dr. J stuff. Fuck Dr. J, you be Shaq. So I was so mad at him. No, sir, I was so mad at him. I told the guys, I said, don't nobody shoot. Give me the ball. And I was just trying to tear the rim down because I was mad at him. But when I was doing that, I realized that I was intimidating everybody else. And he was like, see? If you play like this, everybody be you know, intimidated and the game would be much easier. So every time I went up to dunk, I gave the appearance like I was trying to tear the backboard down. But it was a great feeling.
I mean, you just rip a backboard down.
What the fuck are you doing here? Ask a question. Jeez.
You do have to ask
I actually
one.
Do. I have
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I have one.
Is it going to be basketball? Because I want to stay with basketball.
No, I'm going to relate it to your father because I have a lot of respect for this because, like, I'm 29 years old, and I've done a lot of my life, but whatever my parents say goes, regardless of my age, regardless of my stature. I honor my mom and father, and they're the reason why I'm here today. But recently, oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Hey,
if he's going to fucking clap, you guys better clap.
I'm texting while you're questioning.
No, because you're very, very intelligent. You're just sitting here like a bobblehead going.
Yeah. No, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you because
no,
I couldn't hear. But I actually recently just got into it with my dad. And
so what you need to do when you leave here, just call him and tell him you love him. That's it. Nothing to talk about.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. Dad, I love you and I respect you and I'll see you when I get home. Because one of the biggest mistakes I made, and I talked about this the last 2 years, is because I work a lot, so it's easy to go, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. So one day I get a call, my sister's no longer with us. So I'm already down, you know, from that. And then I get another call. Hey, man, Kobe Bryant just passed away. And all I had to do was pick up the phone and say, hey, I miss you. Hey, I love you. Hey, what you doing? So after we get off this, don't go hang with these guys. Go in the back room, call your father, say, Dad, I love you. Everybody's going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. But I know you have respect for your father. You know, sometimes when we get older, we think they don't know what they're talking about. But just listen to what he's saying. If you agree, do it. If you don't agree, just respectfully say, Dad, I don't agree. But you don't need to be fighting and going long distance, you know, without talking to your dad. So after this, just call him and tell him you love him.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Fantastic.
Now it's hard to get back into basketball. Nice job, George.
Oh.
You were the big guy. You were the big guy, you know, closest to the rim, getting in trouble, pushing people around. Who gave you the most trouble in the scene?
Nobody. Because if I didn't play well, my mother would lose her house. Not really, but
yeah,
that's how I played.
There had to be somebody.
No,
you
nobody.
Ain't nobody.
No, because you know what? Those guys never really played me one-on-one. Actually, the little guys, because they get better, you know, positioning, like Charles Oakley and Barkley and Malone. They would give me problems, but not really. But big guys, nobody.
When you said little, I was thinking like Peyton or Starks or something. No, like, you're talking about.
No, like 6'8", 6'9", like, you know, put an elbow in
the little guys.
Yeah.
Hey, was it always going to be basketball, by the way?
Yes. Well, no, football first. And then a guy named John Konkak. You know who that is? So you guys know John Konkak? So he was in, I was in high school, and he signed 15 for 3. And my father went to see me watch him play. He was okay, but I think I was better at that point in high school. Because when I was coming up, in 1988, I wrote on my wall, I want $8 million for 10 years. Because that's how the money was. I want to make $8 million for 10, like I had it all planned out. $800,000 a year, my house, my mama's house, I'm going to get me a Benz, I'm going to get a Jimmy Blazer, get a house in Texas. But when I seen him sign 15 for 3, I was like, this guy's making 15, I could at least make 20.
Yeah.
So then, you know, a couple guys came out and, you know, made a lot of money before me. And so when I came out.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
But I asked for 50. I didn't get 50. I got 40. Who's that singing?
Who the fuck is that?
Backstreet Boys right now.
I literally looked at me like he's just wanted to be bad at me. Like I was singing Backstreet Boys while he's talking.
I want to know who it is. No. Bring him out here. Make him perform it. Make him perform it in front of
everyone. Grab him, Kev. Seriously.
If you want to sing Backstreet Boys, you do it in front of everyone. Right here. Everybody.
But that's like, yeah, we've sang that on the show before.
It's a fantastic song.
You got a top three?
Top three what?
NBA all time. All right, you know what? No.
No, it's hard to talk.
Bring
him in. It's hard to name a top three. It really is.
I know you got a top one. He's probably sitting on the stage right now.
I wouldn't rate myself the best ever. But I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And the panel. When LeBron passes up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in points, and he will this year, will that make him the greatest player ever? Okay. An interesting question. I think the greatest player is Michael Jordan. That's what I think. But
I agree.
LeBron is about to do something that hasn't been done in a long time, and I think he will move his name up there. But for me, it's always Dr. J and Michael Jordan, you know, Magic and those guys.
I might get flamed for this, but dude, I'm from Cleveland. So I gotta go with LeBron.
See, that's what I was gonna ask. Do people ever call you like an old head? Like you don't respect the new school, you don't look at LeBron and what he's doing now and
No, I do look at LeBron, but I also like listening to, you know, people's opinions.
Yep, absolutely.
Listen, Jordan was the greatest in my opinion. And he likes LeBron. That's his opinion. But, you know, when people look at stats, right? So, you know, his stats are definitely going to be up there. And to have passed up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I can truthfully say I'm jealous of that feat. Because I wanted to pass up. I was like 1,500 points behind Wilt Chamberlain. I wanted to pass up Wilt Chamberlain because then I was going to arrogantly say, I am the most dominant big man ever, and I don't want to hear anybody else's name. So now when you talk about most dominant, you bring Wilt, Bill, and Shaq. It's cool, but I wanted to be up there by myself.
There's just something like subjective about it, too. Like it's like you look at the stats, but there's just, I don't know, that feeling MJ used to give you when you would watch him at the top of the key. You know,
he's the only
sink that shot.
He's the only man that had me terrified on the court. because I went from high school admiring him, college admiring him, and then he's right there in front of you. And all the shit you see on your poster, like he's doing it in real life. Like he came by me so fast one time, I was like, oh shit. Mike, yeah, I was terrified. But once I, you know, regained my nerves, I had to get into karate mode. Because in all the karate mode movies, the teacher must someday beat the master to become the master. Mm. And I won a lot of bets when I asked people who's the last guy to beat Michael Jordan in the playoff situation.
That a boy.
Yes.
that a boy.
I mean, but he's the greatest. But, you know, LeBron will pass up Kareem, and I can't wait to, you know, hear everybody's opinion.
There was an interview with Scottie Pippen in 2021 where they asked him how he wanted to be remembered, and he said, the greatest ever. You have any thoughts on Pippen saying something like that?
No. I mean, listen, we all think that we're the greatest ever.
Got it.
But if you ask me, how do I want to be remembered? Just want people to say Shaq was a nice guy. Because nothing else matters.
Not on the court. One of my favorite quotes that Dwayne Johnson says is, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. And I totally agree. I totally love it. It's really cool sitting here and listening to you talk about what you were chasing when you were back in, you know, NBA, the competitive days. And I'm curious now, as you sit up here in really comfy shoes, pajamas, and a t-shirt, what are you chasing now? 2022, you've done it all.
I want to become a sex symbol.
We actually wanted to talk to you about that.
No, I,
we wanted to talk to you.
We
want to
manage your OnlyFans page.
So I've been working out, and I posted a pic a couple weeks ago, and it went viral.
Oh yeah.
I was like, man. So I've been really, really working out.
What kind of pic? Like, explicit?
No. Shirtless pic.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that one.
That was Photoshop, eh? I seen this picture. No. You have a six pack?
I'm not gonna even talk to you today because I'm gonna show him. Go ahead, keep talking.
I have a funny story.
Go ahead.
It's not a story, it's a prompt.
I'm gonna show him this video that I did this morning. And you tell me if it's a six pack.
Okay.
Go ahead. Keep asking questions. Don't touch my phone.
All right.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I saw the photo. It looks Photoshopped.
Well, did you have to be naked? Like, could you? Just,
hold on. He said sex symbol.
When you say yes or no, it's real. Yeah, this is just me this morning messing around. Here come watch. Go ahead, keep talking.
Me?
Yeah, no, them.
Oh my
God. Yeah, Tell them what you see, big dog. Can you explain
what you're seeing, George?
Something, like, it looks like he's from the Avengers right now, bro. Like this guy is.
It's a deep fake.
Oh, this is not Photoshop.
It's not Photoshop. Stop it.
That's a movie, bro.
Yeah, you see that? Today.
Yeah, but I also know you're.
No, it ain't fun. Nope, you don't know nothing.
Yeah, he found out I've been eating solid. Nope, AI deep fake technology. Yeah, he put a six pack.
Could you airdrop that to me?
Tell him what you see.
Tell me what you see.
No, but I had like a little 4-pack, so I'm.
No, that was a 6-pack. Don't be humble.
I like to create crazy motivating for. So I want to. Because I was looking at myself and I had that Charles Barkley retirement body. Right? And I didn't want my stomach to be over the belt anymore. So I was just like, let me go ahead and get slammed. But after that thing went viral, now I have to live up to it. So I was 401 pounds. Now I'm 365. I'm trying to take it back to 345. And I want to have muscles everywhere. And I want to do an underwear ad with my sons.
Do you know what brand?
Fruit of the Looms, baby.
Nice, that's funny.
The hell is that?
Why
it's
is
a
my
cat.
Producer crawling
He's literally a cat.
Jeez. I've never seen Dylan actually be more like a cat than in that moment. I swear to God, this guy just army crawled across the floor on all fours.
Jeez, what are you doing?
Young lady in the front, you came up to me. Can you come up here for this prompt? She came up to me. I was here doing a little presentation earlier, and she showed me a photo that she had, and I want you to show you, Shaq.
You want me to
come Why don't you come in front right here? And then here, come right here. And
hello, how are you?
I know it might be a little awkward, but show Shaq what you have.
Okay, so 1999, you and me at the Denver Zoo.
She was like,
and we also have the same birthday, and I DM you on Instagram almost every year, and I'm like, hey Shaq, happy B-Day. We have the same birthday. This is a pic of us at the Denver Zoo in 1999.
This is a pic of us.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember the pic when I was
here, show the camera.
That'd be weird if he was like, yeah, actually it was a Tuesday.
No, put it on. Of course not.
So I have a I'm doing research every time I go to the zoo.
Yeah, for what?
For what?
Don't laugh, but it's a true story. Don't move, whatever I do. So every zoo that I went to in the world, all the gorillas look at me and they go crazy. You can laugh, it's okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so don't move. So I'll go up to them and like I'll mess with them and like they all come to the glass and they all do this. Every zoo in the world. Like they just go crazy, they just go to glass and go.
Wait, so, did you say gorillas?
Huh?
Which animal did you say?
The gorillas.
That's where we met. That it was in front
of you. Met at the gorillas.
Yes, I'm telling you. Yes. It's just like so every city, every zoo, and they have this one albino gorilla in Philly. He almost broke the damn glass and got out. His name was Joey, and when he stood up, he was like 9'9".
If he did break out,
I would have ran my ass off. Yeah, I'm not fighting. Listen, I'm tough and all, but I'm not gonna fight no gorilla.
I don't know. I feel like you could take a gorilla, man.
No, I cannot.
You ever seen a shaved ape?
Yes.
One of the strongest things animals I've ever seen.
It looks like him.
Just so, about.
If the ape did crack and was bald.
Just about, yeah.
No, those things, no, that's not. I like going to the zoo. How old are you now?
I'm 29 now, but that was.
Makes me feel so old.
In 1999, I was 6.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on stage.
Yes, thank you.
March
6th. All right. Happy birthday.
Did she say March 6th?
Yeah, March 6th. Yep, that's my birthday.
There's the cat.
Okay, so before we wrap up here, I'm sure someone in the audience
has
a question. I love the live Q&As. It's one of the coolest things we get to
do. Have I met you before? You look familiar, sir.
Up
yes.
front?
I've never met you before.
Were you at the zoo in 99?
That's amazing.
Does anyone have a question for Shaq? Surely someone wants to say something.
I never forget a pretty face, sir.
Wow, you
there we go. Question over
you
here.
You on the right
well,
side.
I mean, look how he was treating me, and I had a microphone. You think they want to get the mic now?
I got one for you, Shaq. So my daughter, she's 14, freshman, playing AAU club ball. What kind of advice would you give her growing up, especially now that women's basketball is even getting more competitive? With everything Kobe had going on and whatnot. So as she's trying to fight and make a spot, what kind of advice would you give her?
One, have fun. Two is no pressure. Three, enjoy it. I see a lot of parents when they get kids that are freshman phenoms, they push them a little too hard and they don't realize that you still gotta be a sophomore, still gotta be a junior, still gotta be a senior. So just, you know, encourage her. You know, don't really put too much stress on being good at 14. Like, I never wanted my kids to be really good at 14. I used to hold them back. Their mom just said, no. I'm like, no, just wait. And I think they're at a pretty good level now. They have a lot of room to go. But listen, she's 14. She's a girl. Let her be a girl. Let her hang out. Teach her how to be a leader. And, you know, just encourage her as much as you can.
Another question over here.
Hi, Shaq. My name is Marissa. Over here.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. This is awesome. Thanks for letting us be a part of this. But you grew up with a kind of a strict dad that, you know, didn't let you get away with much. How do you feel about kids and parents today that really, I feel, I don't have kids, but I see, don't really have a lot of, they want to be more their friend than their parent. And how do you see, like, that generation and the next generation?
You know, I don't want to sit up here like I'm a parenting expert, but the way my parents raised me worked for me. The way I raised my children, it works for them. Never been in the position to say, you should do this, you should do that. Can always offer advice. I kind of wanted to be my kids' friends also because I was gone a lot. So when I come home, I didn't want to be the bad guy all the time. So I would have to mix it up on when I get upset and when I didn't get upset. So when my kids were little, the way I got upset, I would act like a dog man and I'd chase him around the house. So it's, you know, I'm kind
that's of, terrifying. As a grown up,
you know,
like, he looked right at you.
No, I'd be like, I got a call from your teacher. You didn't pay attention in class. You got 3 seconds to run. And they start, rah, and I get them. You gonna pay attention to class? Rah. So I had to be a little bit more of the friend. So, you know, to each his own. And, you know, the rules have definitely changed. You can't do the things that happened to me and you. But, you know, I still see a lot of parents doing wonderful things out there.
Question right here in the middle.
I'm Jimmy Gutierrez, the mayor, or orange shirt to some people up on the stage, but the hype man. I had a question. I had an opportunity to take my kids to your on their 21st birthday, see you playing at Encore. What's behind the whole DJ thing? By the way, you tore up the stage. It was
thank
insane.
You, I appreciate it.
Had a fun time. Diesel. So DJ I'm just
Diesel.
Curious.
Diesel.
Yeah. So Diesel, for sure.
So from 15 through to 40, an hour, once, twice, three times a week, I would get an adrenaline boost from you all. From the fans. And again, going back to my father, he took me to a game one time. It was a terrible game, and we were riding the car, and he says, if you ever make it to this level, make sure you put on a performance for people that pay their money to watch you perform. So whenever I played, I always took pride in that. And, like, I needed that. Like, I would have to come in the arena sometimes, and I didn't feel like playing and see this man and his beautiful wife or father and son or family who come to watch me play, little kids with the Shaq jersey. Now I know I got to step up for them. Mm. Now I know I got to play hard for them. So, you know, I went to this concert one time. It was 500,000 people there. Because after I retired in 2011, it kind of went, I didn't have anything. Like, I'd get the adrenaline boost a little bit. But, you know, I went to this concert. It was 500,000 people there, and it just entered my body again. So then I was like, you know what? I've been DJing in high school and college. Let me do it. So that hour when I DJ, you know, just reminds me of a game 7.
And you also get to spend a lot of that time with your son, Miles, who helped put this together, a friend of mine.
Yes.
What's it like to be out there doing something that you love with your son like that?
He watched me do it. And, you know, he didn't ask for my help, which I love and respect. Because, you know, he wants to be respected out there. He started from the bottom, just like I did. And I've been DJing since the 80s, but, you know, when I entered the DJ world, I had to do not to start from the bottom, which is cool. So, you know, I just get a call one day and say, hey, man, your son wants to DJ. And I'm like, what? He's a DJ? Like, I didn't even know he was doing it. But, you know, I bought him the equipment when he was 11, 12, and I used to see him practice it. I never helped him out, but very, very proud of him.
Your ability to pivot is phenomenal. And it makes sense now hearing that you've DJed in the past before, because when I saw you DJ for the first time in Austin.
Yeah, Austin, yeah.
At F1.
Yes.
I mean, you know, celebrities, like, just turn DJs.
I know you didn't just call me the C word.
You don't think you're a celebrity?
No, I denounced myself from being a celebrity 3 years ago. Excuse my French.
Sex. I missed that announcement.
No, I'm going to tell you why. Because celebrities are assholes. They are. They're rude. They're obnoxious. They're arrogant. And I'm not like that.
What's the title?
I'm just a regular guy. As you see, I came in here by myself. No entourage, no security, not throwing people around.
I mean, I don't know if you need security.
A lot of people, when they get certain stuff, they think that because I have this, I'm better than you. But I'm no better than you. I'm no better than you. So I'm a guy that was raised on an Army base. I live a great life, but doesn't make me better than you. So I don't walk around and act like I'm better than you. So celebrities, they're doing a lot of crazy stuff. I don't want to be involved in that. Hmm. I want to be a regular guy. I drive a Dodge Charger, Hellcat, of course.
Of course. 700 HP.
I'm just a regular guy. So, you know, when they called us a celebrity DJ, I actually took offense to that. I was like, oh, you think I'm a celebrity DJ? Okay. So it's like, because I'm the type, I've been getting criticized my whole life. When I get criticized, I don't cry and whimper. I just step up.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay, no problem. So when they called us a celebrity DJ, we just had to step up. And now they call me the dubstep dad.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, you're very good is what I was going to say.
Thank you, sir.
You aren't the celebrity DJ.
Thank you.
You're absolutely right. I cannot believe you fit in a Charger.
I do.
Can't believe he fits in that chair.
Two more questions back here.
Shut the hell up. Center.
Hi, Ray. Christian Morja. I a statement and then a question. One, in 1989, I saw you in the drum, San Antonio Cole, play in the high school state basketball championship. I always wanted to get to the drum. I never got there, but I was 13 years old then, and it was 3A, right? So yes. Not the biggest school in Texas. And it was one of the most amazing things I ever saw. But that was awesome. But I'm a Kobe guy. Grew up being a Kobe guy. I know you guys, I've watched every documentary. I've seen it all. Seen you talk about it 1,000 times. But that beef or whatever that story that you guys went through,
the world.
How true is it? And what is
the world? What it, the world likes to, sorry to cut you off, but I know you're going this. The world likes to portray it as beef. But what I like about you and your brother, I see you guys argue all the time. But at the end, the respect is there. Mm-hmm. That's why y'all are close. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
100%.
So he is who he is. I am who I am. We used to butt heads, but you can never lose respect. Mm-hmm. So me being the leader of the team, I knew what I had. I used to mess with him all the time. Because I already know I'm giving you 28, 29, 30, 40. Mm. Now I got to get him to give me that because I could never do it by myself. It had to be a 1-2 punch. So we would go back and forth. But if you look at all the documentaries, the first championship is 20,000 people in the arena. And I go and put my hand up like this, and the floor opens up. And who's the first person to jump tomorrow? Kobe Bryant. So as the big brother, sometimes you have to push buttons. As the leader, sometimes you have to push buttons.
I feel that.
You know, when you're a leader, you either focus on the relationship or you focus on the task. And studies show sometimes when you focus on the relationship, the task dwindles. Sometimes when you focus on the task, the relationship dwindles. I'm a task-driven leader. I got to win the championship because if we lose, they're coming at me. Mm. You miss this many free throws, you're rapping, you're doing movies. So I got to do whatever I got to do, push all the buttons and make everybody perform at a high level. So it wasn't really beef. It was just, you know, disagreement sometimes because he wanted to shoot all the time. And I said, no, you need to pass it to me all the time. So it wasn't that it was beef. And then, you know, because like there's arguments and, you know, there's tussles, but it would never spill over to real life because I would never let it spill over to real life because, you know, at the end of the day, I got to go home to my children, you go home to your children. If I see you out, it's not like I'm going to beat you up in front of your kids. So it was just in the workplace disagreements. And I'm sure you guys have them here all the time, but you guys are at the top because of a reason. So the respect was still there. Like I saw you and your brother fight one time and at the end of the night, you guys together. I was like, those guys are close.
Yeah.
Those guys are close.
He's my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like there have been times in my life where the saying was, I don't like my brother, but I love my brother.
Yes.
And I feel like that about Mike a lot, actually. Actually, I don't even like Mike. I don't know why he's here. He's the one I think he's going to
be. I don't like this guy.
We need to switch chairs.
Yeah, he's just sitting here doing this all night.
Why would you guys switch and then leave? I'm just kidding. I couldn't.
No, he's sitting here doing this all night.
I couldn't do the show without these guys. I love you, Mike. I mean what I said earlier just now.
I know that.
Do we have one more question?
Yeah, final question over here on this side of the room. Here we
go. He's so excited, dude.
Hi, my name is Erin Neely. And I'm a huge basketball fan, so I have to ask this. Out of all of the teams that you played for, what was your favorite team and why?
Probably the Lakers, because when Phil Jackson came, he taught us to get over the hump. And after we got over the hump, we just knocked off 3 straight. Then Miami would be my second team. But you know, just having the opportunity, especially as a high-level juvenile delinquent, to fulfill my dream and play in the NBA was great. But my favorite team would probably be the Lakers.
All right, well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. No, honestly, Shaq, that was awesome. We appreciate you for giving us your time and energy. Glad we
found
you
on the
podcast. Say again?
That's water?
This is a hydration beverage. It has coconut water in it, yeah.
Why? Because we're in competition now.
I don't think we are. I went back and forth with your team on this.
Okay, well.
I really don't think we are.
Complimentary.
No, tell me, it's 88 alkaline, right?
No, it's alkaline 88.
Alkaline 88, because it's
8.8. And if I see that in the store, I'm going to just buy it and just throw it away so my shit can sit there.
As long as you're getting us the dollars, brother.
All right, good luck with that, brother. All right, thank you, guys.
Shaquille O'Neal, ladies and gentlemen. We love you guys. You're the best distributors in the world.
And the best audience
ever. And the best audience ever, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen, thank you for watching this episode of The Pulse.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Peace.
You can I get one of those Metamoon things? Hey, I don't know if you know this, but we're actually on a podcast.
Also, I don't know if you know this, but like I think I need to get kicked off this podcast. No, even my shirt.
Whoa.
Nice catch.
What's wrong with my shirt?
No, I said, you got Dunlap. Your little fucking
your belly Dunlap
belly
over your belt.
Over the top.
My belly button. Yeah. My belly button. Yeah. Nothing more embarrassing could happen to me today. Not like one of the greatest basketball players shitting on me in front of a group of. First of all,
Call me Jeffrey Dahmer.
Excuse me, you are.
You told me I looked like a monkey. A gorilla.
Listen, you guys had all the time to talk. Shut the fuck up for 2 seconds.
Oh, now
so I can please paint this fucking picture. One, you know when I found out that it was live? When I got the fuck on stage. I turn around and I see all these people. I go,
homie, it's been in the group chat.
No, it hasn't. I looked back. I even typed the word live. It wasn't in the group chat. So fuck you guys.
It's not live. Okay,
nope.
That might not be the keyword.
There's fucking 400 people.
The keyword may have been audience.
I'm not done.
Distributors.
Second, they're like, by the way, you're going to need to wear headphones. Never wear headphones. By the way, why wear the headphones? Not even plugged in. Hey. This is what I saw Shaq doing. The whole fucking time. And then he got mad. I knew he was mad at me. Not because he said it. Because he was like, boom, boom. And then he starts hitting me. And I'm like, oh, I think he's talking to me.
Oh, he was poking you real hard there.
No, I
the
didn't
last
know he was even
there.
Talking to me. I went like this. You know how embarrassing that was? I'm from Phoenix.
Hey, shut up.
That's our own producer.
You're screaming into a mic. What is this, a Bon Jovi concert? Shut it.
Shut your mouth, cat.
Shut your freaking yap. George. You gotta be versatile. You can't just come up here saying, it was a live show. I didn't know. I can't hear anything. I'm deaf. I'm blind. I'm stupid. We know all that.
But just say something
to the guy.
I had nothing.
You could ask about Jesus.
Shaq. Or
I did bring up about Jesus. He wasn't very happy.
No, you should have said, what was your free throw joke?
Not free throw joke. I said, I've heard of David and Goliath. There was a giant
joke. No. You said something to me that you didn't say to Shaq.
Oh, I said, who taught you how to throw free throws? I actually was going to say, what does your dad think about your free throws? But then I was like, maybe that's a little bit too much. You know what? I'm not going to lie. Everybody needs to fit their description. I'm the type that could talk shit when you're not around. I feel super safe. When you're not around, I'll talk all the shit.
It is much easier.
If he's here, not the same.
I also like that you do that and like clam up because that's what the normal person would do. That's what the average person would do.
No, I didn't clam up, bro. I've learned my lesson on this podcast. If I have nothing valid to say or interrupt the flow, it's terrible.
Very smart.
So if I couldn't hear what was going on, this is a double Dutch game. So if I would have thought I said something but ruined it, like, and ruined the flow of this conversation, it would have been better for me to take the back seat. And it did. Me and him bonded. He bruised my arm for poking it.
Buddy,
let me
tell you something. If anybody on this stage right now ruined that podcast, it wasn't you.
Yeah, Logan, what the fuck was that,
bro?
I didn't show up.
Okay, I got to ask. No, that's not why.
It wasn't about showing up. Mike, please tell me what it was. I'm going to keep talking, but it means nothing.
I didn't feel
authentic to me.
Shut up, George. This is what you guys do.
You guys say stuff that means nothing, and then you stop out of nowhere.
100% me.
I did it.
I don't know if it was lack of sleep, but homie just a quarter of the way through the podcast says, thanks for showing up today, Shaq. We really enjoyed your presence, dog. We were 10 minutes in.
I'm such a moron.
Why did you end the show then?
So guys, we ended the show. We all went backstage and they were like, yo, what, 30 minutes in you ended the show? Like, I thought we started at 3:00. And when I looked at my phone, it was 4:00. So I was like, oh, we've been going an hour.
What was different about this podcast though?
I'll tell you. One, it's fucking Shaq.
Yeah.
He's not incredibly easy to to interview.
All right, now.
And then two, the live audience as a whole other thing, because in my opinion, if it's not just us, like, I'll come up here and be explicit and vulnerable about 100%. Me and my life, whatever, but I do want to be respectful of him, and I'm afraid to ask, you know, questions that we may normally ask on a podcast because there's 200 fucking 50 people watching. We were going to ask Shaq how big his dick was.
Because his shoes are so big, we're going to ask him, and right when he said he was wanted to be a sex symbol, I thought to myself, now's the time. You wear a size 25 shoe, do you have a size 25 cock? But then there's fucking Little Miss Susie Distributor from Anheuser-Busch sitting in row one looking at me like, my daughter's going to watch this episode. I'm like, all right, okay. Fuck this shit.
Do you guys want me to tell you what was on the video? Because he kept saying, like, describe it for them.
Yeah,
like,
what was the video?
Bro, it was, I'm not kidding. It's like, it's, he had a bookshelf that was a hidden bookshelf.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled the book, opened up the bookshelf.
Okay.
Now it's a huge other room, which was amazing. And then he comes around the corner, literally no socks, nothing but bright, bright blue underwear.
Could you see the print?
Oh, yeah.
What's it looking like?
dog's hung, bro. Really? He's like, tell him what you see. And I could not get my eyes off of just, he was just walking. And I was like, that should be illegal. Like
you know what should be illegal?
What?
The fact that he was married to a woman who was under 5 foot.
Nah, he was married to Ayla Woodruff. Because I'm not even kidding. Nah, like, same size,
because his dick is like barely under 5 foot.
No. Look up a picture of Shaq and his wife. She was short.
No, she was short in the picture. She was probably taller than me.
No. I think she's short. I don't even see, like, anatomically
I didn't even finish. So he comes around the corner, and I'm like, wow, Shaq is literally on the show right now showing me him in his underwear. And I was like, this is a pretty cool
moment. I thought it was going to be like a Jeffree Star moment where, like, Jeffree Star fully showed us a picture of him sucking a professional NFL athlete's player dick on a plane. I thought for sure Shaq was going to show you a video of him fucking.
But the thing about him is he's like this, like, super in-demand dude. We jumped through fucking rings of fire to get him on the podcast for an hour. And he comes here and he's like, you got an hour of my time. And like 26 minutes go by and Logan pulls the reverse Uno on him and goes, yo, Shaq, thanks for coming to join us for 12 minutes. That's all we got for you today. Get the fuck out of here. Shaq looked at us like this, like, what's good, bro?
I know. I made an error. And I want to apologize to the audience. I'll take this time now to say I'm sorry. I don't really feel like myself today. It's fine. By the way, George did get a signature of Shaq.
Impulsive Museum, baby.
And he was such a sweet guy, dude. He was like, hey, man, I really like the way that you can take jokes. He goes, I leaned on you. He goes, but I like that. And then we talked about the dad thing. But I got to say what Milton did, because Milton is like Logan's coach. And this guy, first of all, before we even went, we went to go get pizza and he's chilling with 14 Indian old women.
Literally.
What are you doing here? And he's like, no, if you want a picture, take it with them. Like, no. And
I'm just kept walking.
I was like, we didn't even want to sit. I'm like, this guy he's this cartoon. But Shaq comes out and he pulls out this walkie talkie from his fucking pocket.
Okay.
He goes, boys, I'm ready. And just a fucking, I'm talking like Secret Service comes out of nowhere.
What are you talking about?
He
said he came here with no one.
Yeah, what?
Bro, he's not a celebrity.
Bro, boys, I'm ready. Swoop. Then Milt jumps on the opportunity. He goes, right this way. I'm not kidding. I want the camera to pan. Because this was,
I saw this and I was like, wow,
Milt, that was great. Had his camera ready. He goes, yeah, right this way. Walks into the room. This is him walking in. He looks at the camera because it's right there. Takes a picture. And now he just sits in an empty room and he goes, am I supposed to be in this? And he goes, no.
Shut the fuck up. Milton, my boxing coach, escorted Shaq to, he convinced Shaq that he was a member of his team.
Literally, basically. This is all the room. This is the movement.
Watched it happen.
This is the movement.
Just to get a picture.
I watched it.
I had to ban Milton from taking snaps and videos.
You haven't yet.
Of me. No, of me and Jake, because he's become a liability online. He would in the past post our location where we were in real time in foreign strange cities. One time we were being swatted. Someone called us and said, whatever they said to get the SWAT team at our house. And Milton thought it would be cool to live stream the whole fucking thing on Instagram. So when we found there was a leak from the inside of our camp, I had to, bro, he's live streamed. The beginning of it was our address and a helicopter in, you could see it all in one.
TMZ was there within 5 minutes, dude. Like,
and
the camera.
And I guarantee when you said Milt, what? And he goes,
no.
What?
I am curious though, because he loves posting on Instagram, and I don't know what it is.
He got in trouble by another organization that we work with, not to be named, talking to one of the superstars.
Really?
Pictures? Yeah.
Really?
Milt.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's right there.
Oh no.
Should we ask?
And by the way, there's no prompt.
I do want to know this. I do want to know this.
Jeff, I get straight out.
Can I ask Milton why he loves Snapchatting so much?
It's
the time. I need to know why he loves posting on Instagram so much. The new 60-second story feature came out, and he's the biggest fan of
it. I just want to let you know, we moved Shaq for this story. Just FYI.
No.
Could have been another fun
story. I'm already taking full accountability. I messed up.
I'm kidding, bro.
I like podcasts with my boys. Shaq is just so big. He's so fucking big. I panicked.
Hey, to be honest, nobody's happier than that move, because, bro, I was so nervous the whole time. Dude, fucking up in front of people is a scary thing. Fucking up in front of Shaq, scary thing.
There's no need to do
that. Milt, take a seat.
Just sit out. Like, you're not a statue. You don't have to hold that thing.
Take a seat. Yeah, no, I know. I feel you, George. And I'll apologize again because
I apologize for not showing up.
Can we get a tight of Milton's toes real quick?
Jake's team says if Milton wants to travel with him, it's mandatory that he wears socks and lotion.
You need lotion right now.
looking like Kevin Durant's ankles over here.
Dude, oh my god, dude.
No, shut up.
Oh my god, I'm pretty sure.
All right, bring that close to your mouth. Alright, there you go. All right, can you hear me?
How are you not itchy, bro?
Loud and clear.
Keep
sure.
That mic closer.
All right. You got your picture with Shaq?
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
I asked him when he was walking out the door.
Yeah, you just
I heard you escorted him into an empty room.
No. Escort him. There was no light right there.
that doesn't check
that's
out, brother.
He gave me the classic redirect. Smoke mirrors.
He's just doing smoke bomb and thought.
No, there's no light. Scoring. I mean, it was dark in there. What does that mean,
that's
bro?
That's so funny. Cause no, I understand it now because I watched his face when he was making up his mind. You weren't trying to trick him in the room. You were just mad that there was no light there.
There was no light.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I brought you up here to ask you one question.
Surprise me.
And I've been meaning to ask you this.
On Nationwide?
What is it about posting on your Instagram story that you like so much?
What do you mean?
Duh.
What do you mean?
Don't do that.
What do you mean?
What I mean? You're one of those guys as...
He's a shit poster.
Bro, you go to look at his story... And each bar is this fucking big up top.
Microscopic dots.
And there's 100 of them, and each one is 20 seconds long. So I'll ask again.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. You're 66 years old. You're still actively posting on Instagram, really actively. So what is it that you like about it so much? You don't even know. See, this is what confuses
me. Well, you're putting
me.
Him on the spot. Give him a second.
I'm just trying to think. Okay, I just post stuff to be posted, I guess.
Mill, you're colder than ice. You're cool as a cucumber. Everybody knows you're the thunder from down under. You're the queen, the legend from Queens. You're the man that won't stop being the man. You're the guy who say some more things that you would call yourself.
Often imitated, but never duplicated.
There you go. What else?
The East and the best in the West.
Yeah. When the ladies get next to me, they just get undressed. Anyway, I don't know. I just post stuff, I guess. I just think of, you know, I don't know. I just post it.
Why?
Why do I post?
You trying to be an influencer?
No.
Because from this angle, that's what it looks like.
You trying to be
a TikTok? I can't be an influencer because I'm not charging anybody. I'm not charging.
Well, you post more than every influencer I know.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Trust me. No one posts as much as you. Yeah, not even close.
I don't post.
Kevin?
Not even remotely
close.
No,
not Kevin.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but
what
I don't see why I don't even post that much.
Are you freaking me?
Let's find out.
Do I post that much?
Let's find out.
What, so I'm a poster child for not posting?
Let's find out right now.
You got four stories live on your Instagram right now.
That's not bad.
You went to Overlook LA last night?
Oh, that's actually not that bad. I actually respect that story.
I'm not really doing anything.
No, I'm still just wondering why. You like it. You like it, right?
Well, since I am everywhere, which my hat says, so I post stuff where I go and let everybody know, like, hey, I'm here, I'm there. You know, just if people
tag
who
a location,
so it's on brand.
If people who can't follow us or y'all around, they follow me wherever I go, knowing, hey, where's he going next? So I figured I am everywhere I post.
Do you know, check this out. Because your posting kind of helped me out a little bit recently for the first time.
Wow. I think I know what that one is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Because... although you did the Puerto Rico thing and you didn't post and you didn't do anything and I didn't even post no pictures like, hey, we're here. And then a week later after it came out, I said, you know what, maybe I should just put this up because it's a week later, it's behind, and a lot of positive notes came up about like, wow, Logan is helping out. Your guys are helping out. And a lot of big Puerto Rican people kind of reached out and was saying stuff about you, which was all positive.
Well, it was interesting because, like, as you know, we know, and I think I'm doing an interview with Philip DeFranco this weekend. The Puerto Rican sentiment is some people feel a certain way about it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to post that on social media. And you did. And in this video that Philip DeFranco made, he was kind of
condemning or talking about the sentiment of some Puerto Ricans about, you know, me and
go home, gringo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And he cited a couple tweets of people saying, like, you know, Logan, you're on this island, but what are you doing to help out? And I don't feel the need to have to prove myself, which is why I didn't post anything. And I don't plan on posting anything or parading my pursuits around on social media. But the fans had our back and they saw your picture and they were like, Phil, like, about they are doing stuff, and we've done some stuff too. But it helped me because now he saw the picture, and I'm gonna sit down with Philip DeFranco this weekend and talk a little.
Philly
bit about
D.
Well,
Philly
D. I had also let them know I was a Boricua. Yo, I'm Puerto Rican. I've been working with Logan for 5 years. I'm Puerto Rican, so you can't say he ain't doing anything because I'm here.
Say watching. Something else, like in that same type of vein, like the other things that you say. You know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about, man?
No, not like that. But you're
Muhammad Ali.
Give
him Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the greatest of all time.
Well, let me tell you, I'm the greatest of all time. I whooped Joe Frazier. I'm about to whoop you. I'm gonna get up here. Let me tell you, I'm so pretty. But when I finish with you, this won't be no joke. Next time you see you, your nose will be broke.
Milton Supreme, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, speaking of posting a lot, there's a hot upcoming new social media platform people are posting like crazy on. Mil, you would love it. I posted 44 posts already on it today, and I've only been awake for 6 hours. That platform, ladies and gentlemen,
you may have heard of it. It's called Snapchat. We're fucking Snapchatters. We are Snapchatting.
Oh my God, bro.
Yeah, they have this new creator payout program, and that's probably the reason you're seeing
not me,
or least favorite influencers.
I just like posting there. It has nothing to do with the money.
Yeah, why would you want to make money?
I got one better.
No, it we're talking about something.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, unless, all right, on, say a slogan first and then do it. Like one of your things that you say.
I'm too hot to hold, definitely too hard to handle. I set it off like a Roman candle.
That works. Now okay. say what you bet.
Okay. There's a new platform about to hit the market, which is called and that's going to be the game changer.
Yeah. Have you ever said something on a show where the entire sentence was bleeped out before? Because that just happened. Did okay, you just well, try to plug?
I'm going
to
try it again. I'm going to try it again.
Yeah, go ahead. No, that's fine. Let him try it again.
There's a new... And it's going to be a game changer.
We even bleep that just to be safe, bro.
No, it's Snapchat. So it is funny. So look, I've been snapping. Like, I am a Snapchatting TikToker again now. And so has Mike. And everyone knows that no one wants to see a 37-year-old on Snapchat. But if you do, you can follow Mike.
It's Hey Big Mike. But the thing is about it, you're probably right. But we do all this really polished content that goes on. Even the TikToks are well produced. The YouTube content is obviously pretty high production. The podcast produced. But when we get a chance to, you know, try to solve a Rubik's Cube or chase each other around the house or like the kind of shit that we do behind the scenes, that, by the way, a lot of the real long-time audience members want to see. We've been doing it on Snapchat lately.
It's
interesting. It's cool,
it's
bro.
It's something I overlooked. I've actually been having fun snapping my day. Like, bro, as much as it pains me to say this, I'm a fucking YouTuber, bro. I'm a daily vlogger. I am. I love creating. I like taking videos and pictures of what's going on in my day, posting them, trying to be funny here and there, trying to get creative, exercising my... This is so cool to me. It's a gift. I'm exercising my ability to take this device in my hand, record a piece of content, and upload it for the entire world to see now. Man, when I was like 10, 11, that just wasn't how it was. And it's so cool now that we can do it. So I'm taking advantage of it. And it's cool. And, you know, they're paying a decent amount of money now. If you want to subscribe to my Snapchat, it's at Logan Paul. But
I remember when you were YouTubing, bro.
I was Snapchatting back in the day too.
No, but
which is why this isn't foreign to me. Like I used to Snapchat every single day before the daily vlogs, and then I hopped into daily.
But the daily vlog, like the vlogging, is what made you. I mean, people, you were considered to be one of the greatest YouTubers, and it's been sad, kind of sad to see your fall from glory. And
not sad at all.
I just wanted to throw this out, especially, you know, having been someone who was at one point just an extra in those vlogs. And now someone who gets more monthly views than you on a consistent basis every single month.
I think there's a lot of people that get more views than me monthly.
Yeah, but none of those guys are sitting on stage. So it's just, you know,
strictly based on numbers, you're going to be statistically higher to have more views than me if you're on this stage because I'm not posting. I will say,
hey, listen.
No, you listen. No! I posted a YouTube video
called? I took 4,120 Polaroids in 99 days.
Great video.
It was a summary and a montage, compilation, whatever you want to call it, of the original's photos and each story that we put together. I have never gotten better feedback on a video in my life, like ever. And it's as
watch
a,
time.
As a creator, watch time, retain everything. As a creator, there's no better feeling than when what you put out gets received positively. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who followed that journey and who commented on the YouTube video. And I am humbled that the project was received better than I expected, because you have to understand, like, ironically enough, when we sat at the live show in Ohio and I announced Originals for the first time, and I was talking about this great project, how it could be my magnum opus, and it took me a year to conceptualize it, and it was hard for people to understand what I was talking about, right? And even like during the release of the project, some of the photos are fantastic, if I do say so myself. Some aren't, you know? And so we'd get the, like, you know, what is this project? What are you building? What's happening? And then finally now, after I've released that video and you can see the arc, the story, the time, the energy, and the team that was involved in this project, people are finally seeing what I saw in the first 3 days of conceptualizing that project. And so, like, I do love YouTube. At the end of the day, man, I love creating, and I'm so glad that we have these outlets to just sit down and talk and put out little pieces of us that some people at home can resonate with.
And that wasn't even, like, even remotely all of it. Those were like little, I mean, bro, you have so much footage. And back to the thing I said about the views, I'm obviously playing around, bro. Like, you're one of the fucking goats of YouTube. I learned so much from you, having watched the fucking daily vlogs and being a part of them. And honestly, it's actually funny because lately you've been seeing all these people that start to sway away from YouTube and move into other pursuits, starting to feel that call back. Casey Neistat. Back in New York City. Mm. Like, talk about a full circle moment for the YouTube community. Casey Neistat back in New York City, back vlogging again, shooting vlogs, posting thumbnails, you know, just great content. And Emma Chamberlain back again as well after a long break.
It's cool, man. I think there's going to be a little bit of a kickback on authentic, personable content. You know, like, we see the beast wave of YouTube and the creators that he's inspired to do these
A-Rack.
Massive larger than life videos.
Yep.
A-Rack, Mr. Beam, these guys are killing it. But personally, you know, that's not what I yearn to see. I like the realness.
And a lot of people do, obviously. You yearn to see that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do want to see
it. It's for a lot of people.
Correct.
But not me, bro. Right, I'm 27. Right. Like, I don't need to, you know, see people competing to win. Right. Car. Like, I don't care.
I just love the community. I just love creating that audience of people that actually, like, for the first time in a while, I feel like I've really leaned into a community of people that genuinely care every single week what's going on. And that's just an awesome feeling. It's cool to know that, like, they're following our journey to that extent.
No, I agree. It's cool. And it's really cool to see it manifest in these live audiences, which is why we like to do them. Last thing, I just want to address it real quick. You want to talk about this Tua situation?
Yeah, I mean, dude, what a nasty situation. I mean, by the time this episode comes out, it will have been last week. But Dolphins quarterback, Tua had a rough tackle the week before, had gone into concussion protocol, but I guess they'd made the decision that he was eligible to play last night, the night before we recorded this podcast, and he took a really nasty hit. During the game, and
it was like a slingshot hit where he got like dragged down and the back of his head slammed on the ground, which, you know, we know from boxing and just anything ever, getting hit in the back of the head is the worst place to get hit, and the first thing that is affected is your vision.
And he kind of flipped over, and it was obvious immediately that there was something dramatically wrong with his motor skills, his general function.
Yeah, he was throwing up gang signs with his finger. Literally, it was disturbing,
horrifying. Carted off the field, and there's been a lot of discussion once again about this CTE and concussion protocol in the NFL. It seemed like there had been a tremendous amount of progress made over the past few years in terms of how serious concussion protocol was. Because they now know that CTE is such a major, lifelong an enduring battle for these people after these head injuries. And so there's the Dolphins are under a tremendous amount of scrutiny right now as a result of allowing him to play after a potential concussion last week. News coming in today that they're sticking their medical team is sticking with this concept or idea that he was eligible to play and he was out of concussion protocol and that it was safe for him to play. But it was a really challenging thing to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to shape that space.
So I played football in high school. I was an all-state linebacker, and I gave every bit of me to that fucking high school football team because my coach told me to, and he convinced me that I was going to give it all when I went on the field. And while that's an amazing mindset to have at life, right, just attack everything full force, it really hindered my health. I got a concussion one game, and I was the linebacker, right? So I have to play or call the plays. I got hit head-to-head with a running back from Avon Lake, and I knew immediately, like, something was not normal. This particular hit, like, I would spear guys. This particular hit, like, froze me a bit. So I stayed on the ground. I was on all fours. I went to get up, and I went to call the play, which involved counting the linemen and counting the people in the backfield. I didn't know how to count, dog. I didn't know how to count or say words. And I have 10 other guys relying on me to call the fucking play. In that moment, I went, oh my God, horrible. This sport is scary. Now add in everything else I've torn in my life. I'm not sure that I will let my children play football unless they absolutely fucking love it. It is an amazing sport. I love watching
it.
But oh my gosh, it is so dangerous.
That's so funny you say that because I didn't ever expected you to say like, I don't like, I could see fear taking over your decisions now for your loved ones, yep. Which is like, I never thought I would ever see you go through that. But yeah, I wasn't allowed to play football.
It's just
because of that.
It's just such a rough sport, man. Like, I'm not kidding. Every big injury I had that I still feel to this day, both knees, pulled both hip flexors, can be traced back to football. An amazing sport. If you guys are playing football, like, I trust me, I love it, right? But, oh, my gosh, just be careful. Just, man.
Yeah, if you don't love it, you don't risk it. And also, like, you could just play, like, flag football. That's all fun.
or allocate your energy elsewhere. Like, you know, I remember in high school, there'd be seasons, right, for each sport. There'd be the football season, wrestling season, track season. And I only got to practice the sport that I was playing during the season that we're doing now. We wonder why I got decent at boxing quickly. It's because it's all we focused on. In high school, you don't have that luxury, especially when you're sport hopping for the multidisciplinary athletes. So, you know, I mean this when I say this. If you don't think you're going to go pro in football – or get a college scholarship, allocate your energy elsewhere. I just think there's too much on the line.
That's just like it's a tricky thing. Obviously, it's like it's clearly an American pastime to play football. In certain states, it's the only thing that fucking matters. I mean, you go
Texas.
You try to go say that on a stage in Texas, you get fucking dragged out of there by your feet.
Dedicating your whole life.
You know, I've been there. We've seen it. We saw it with Tua, and I just don't.
Yeah, but I wasn't allowed to play football either, but I was allowed to ride BMX. I was allowed to ski jump. You know what I'm saying? Kids are kids, and they're gonna fuck themselves up regardless. Like at that age, you want to do things that test your physical limits. I can't even tell you on both hands how many concussions I've had. I've been knocked out cold so many.
That's the other
times.
Side of this,
and obviously, you could tell to an extent, but it's like you could take a couple knocks. Clearly, like what happened. Tatua was beyond what should have happened.
The concussion followed up by a concussion.
That's very bad. And that's the thing. And that's what's weird about this. Because whenever I would have a concussion when I was a kid, the only thing that mattered was not getting another concussion quickly thereafter. Because your brain is swollen, correct? Mm. Right? So your brain is swollen. You're at high risk of major issues after your first concussion.
Do you know
why?
So
the swelling in your brain needs to fucking go down. You need to be very careful. So the idea of sending someone back out onto the field to face these 300-pound linebackers after concussion protocol that, you know, is shaded or filtered or obscured by other factors such as desire to win, obviously, money, sponsorships, coaching decisions that are based on their desire to continue wanting to be a winning coach so they get paid money. It's a fucked up situation that I thought the NFL had removed a lot of that guesswork from and made it very clear, yo, CTE, concussion protocol, you're benched. Your ass is not fucking playing until you're cleared by multiple independent doctors. And so this seemed strange to me that they allowed this to happen, and he, you know, he's fucked up.
Well, that's because they were having a good season, and they, if they keep him in, they're going to win. Mm-hmm. And since he got out, they lost the next game.
And a lot of this is late breaking. And so if we misspoke on any specific intricacies, I apologize. But I mean, it's a nasty game for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
I am gonna tell my producer to stop flirting with my assistant as soon as this podcast ends.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
That's dancing.
I don't like it.
All right, well. wait, do they work for the same company?
No, I guess technically. Are you guys having an affair? No.
Maybe he's paying to him.
She's your what?
Pan to him, Caleb.
That's your
Caleb. Just a quick pan.
Just a quick pan.
Just at any moment would be good. Yeah, I don't like any of this.
Oh, you had a date last night?
Dude, there's some coworker affairs going on right now.
We just saw this with a YouTube channel with
Ned Filmer.
What is it? Yeah, what's the thing called? The Try Guys.
The Try Guys guy.
It's like the same thing.
Apparently,
tried
cheated on his wife.
Yeah,
he tried to stay.
He tried guys.
He tried guys.
Wait, he tried guys.
Yeah, he cheated on his wife with a guy.
With a guy?
Yeah, he tried guys.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Let's not put this in the wrong.
No.
Wait, so he was in the wrong. Wait, he was trisexual.
Elaborate.
Hey, that mic's really getting away from me, man.
He was trisexual.
Hey, what are your thoughts?
I was just thinking. So apparently this guy built his brand around being like a faithful husband.
No, I'm not talking about partner. That. Fuck that conversation. I'm talking about
I actually think it's interesting.
Do you have a take on it?
Yeah, don't fucking cheat.
Sorry.
How easy is it to just not do that? Especially when you're painting the picture of things being perfect at home. Like you've built your life, you've built this brand, and it's looking good. You have a wife.
See,
and you want to go cheat on her with your colleague?
But I feel like it's easy to say that, dude.
Shut the fuck up, Mike.
Talk to me about your last marriage.
Wait, Mike.
Talk to me about your last marriage. Talk to me about when you were married to somebody for 26 some odd fucking years.
Figure it out, bro.
And every time she fucking looked at you, she said, "Take the trash out, you piece of shit."
Guys, yo, get a divorce. Get a divorce.
They never heard the word vagina before, George? Your fucking Willy Wonka ass stomach is hanging out again.
You got
that fucking thing, I swear to God.
I've been happy. I gained a little weight.
Your stomach Dunlap over good. Your pants.
Good. He has Dunlap.
If mine pulled up, bro, you'd see fucking Mount Vesuvius popping out of
Did
my
you
pants.
See skin?
Yes, that's what I keep telling
no,
you.
No. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sick of these guys cheating.
Yes, of course.
No, I'm sick of it, bro. Bro, you know, I seen Emily Radikowski.
Yeah, that one I don't get.
Emily Radikowski.
Why don't you get that one?
Got cheated.
She's hot? She could be a psychopath.
No, she's not. Hold on a sec. You're right. I'm sorry. I was going to say something, but you're 100% right.
You know what I mean? Like,
trust me. Take it from someone who...
How could you cheat? Like, dude, what if she comes home every day and her one thing that she has to do is punch you in the nuts?
And then spit in your face.
Dog. Break you know up I mean? With her.
Yes, for sure.
He's I would never cheat. No, course, I'm not a cheater.
Break up with her.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean this. I'm having a hard time computing what I'm seeing. You have the thing. You or at least you're painting the picture. And I mean, Emily Ratajkowski's boyfriend. I'm sorry. You beat, fam. I don't know who the fuck you think you are to be cheating on a woman like that, but I see these guys do it, and I'm stunned. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? Congratulations, you had it all, son, and you fumbled the
bag. But to George's point, he's probably you should never cheat. Obviously, you should just leave. But like, maybe he didn't have it all. Maybe to you know what I'm saying? I've had very pretty girls in my life in the past that I also have broken up with because we did not get along. And there was issues at home on the home front. Just having a pretty face is not the fucking table stakes for a happy relationship these days. It's just not.
The asterisk to what you're saying is these weren't short-term relationships, guys. These were multi-year relationships involving two people who supposedly loved each other at least enough to be in multi-year relationships.
Yeah, they're cheaters. I mean, they're cheaters, bro. Listen, I've never cheated in my fucking life. Not once. I've been in four. What? I did never fucked you, bro. What are you going to say?
Why did you do that?
Yeah, why'd you do that?
That was a pretty aggressive.
No, don't say anything. Let him answer. Why'd you do that?
I was trying to clear my throat.
No, why'd you say that, Mel?
Yeah.
You never cheated?
Never in my life.
Never?
Nope. I put me on a lie detector right now.
Okay.
Why? What were you going to say?
I ain't saying anything.
No.
You never cheated.
No, you could call Milt. You can call me out right here, right now, on exactly what you're talking about. I won't get mad at you. Okay, specifically, good. Say the
you think
people.
He cheated?
No.
Then why'd you do this?
Is he talking
thing?
About the one situation or
maybe,
no?
Because that's the one, the gray area.
No, you talking about the
no.
Logan's very specific on that one where he's like, that wasn't even close.
Here's why you're seeing such a visceral reaction from me. My family was partially broken apart by infidelity when I was growing up. So it hits a little closer to home for me.
Same.
And even though now as an adult, like I don't get it. I don't know.
Wait, I thought you were gonna defend me.
What? Yeah,
you're defending.
No,
already.
I know you never cheated. Sorry. Oh, okay. No. Okay. I don't know why.
No, because he probably was falling on that.
I don't think so. I think he really just wanted to clear his throat.
That is not true, dude.
Anyway, you got a guy right here who.
You gonna try guys? I'm the guy.
No.
Milt, you gonna try guys?
You got a guy right here that's when he's. In it, he's in it all the way, nonstop.
And well, that's what I'm saying.
He does not even look the other way. Being around here with you guys, I see everything. Don't say nothing.
I'm just
telling you, hands down, who's ever in his path, they stay in his path for a while, and they're staying there. And if he likes him, he is
definitely. This is why I'm saying, it is so easy to not cheat. It is hard to cheat. You have to go behind someone's back that you love.
Yeah,
you have to go to someone's
disgusting.
House or a location, plan some shit, get physical with them, finish the job, then go home to the person that you think
disgusting.
That you try.
It's disgusting.
Fucked. Disgusting. I will never understand it.
It's a journey just to cheat.
But also,
my mind
also
is crazy.
But also, it's
trying to cheat.
No. You know what? The times where I can have a little bit more empathy towards the situation is. Emotionally abusive relationships, physically abusive relationships. Who the fuck am I to sit here and judge what people do with their lives, right?
Well, outliers. Yeah.
I just in this particular subject, I do feel strongly that just cheating's not okay. That's what we're gonna end this weird fucking podcast.
What the fuck was this podcast?
Hey, guys, remember when Shaquille O'Neal was on this podcast?
That was today, right?
Yeah, that was today.
By the way, there's a tie in there.
Oh,
but whatever. No, I'm not.
No, please. I want to read this.
Oh, his quote.
And by the way, this is what I was talking about earlier because I didn't want to bring up Shaq cheating in front of this audience, but he's been open about it, which is why I think it's okay to realize. He was a serial cheater. And the quote was, "I did it and I was the best at it. I'm not proud. I lost my family doing it. I lost valuable, important years of my children from doing it. So I refuse to get up here. You shouldn't have did this. You shouldn't have did that. I'm not that guy. I'm real with the situation. It was not worth it. But let me tell you why. The happiest days of my life were coming home and hearing six different people say, daddy, daddy, daddy. The happiest days of my life. Forget the money. Forget the cars. Even forget the championships. Especially when the children were little. And two or three came up and he missed 15 free throws or whatever. They'd wait for him at the games and say, daddy, when can we go to Universal? I butchered this. I absolutely butcher this.
The way you said that last part was funny.
Absolutely butchered it. When I lost that by being stupid, it killed me. So to answer your question, no, it's not worth it. Unless you got a fat ass, bro. Welcome to this episode of Impulsive.
Welcome to Impulsive.
See you next time. Bye.
Welcome.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.